sins and a God that carries us. And Lord, we ought to be the most happy people in the world, no matter how bad things are. We still know that there's a God that has a majesticness, a God that continues to shine above all. And God, I pray as we just ponder that tonight, as we study even, we just thank you for the truth that is. We thank you for how much it can affect our everyday. Brings us the hope for tomorrow. God, we just thank you. In your son's name, amen. All right, appreciate that song and that singing. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We're just going to be going through a few psalms for a few weeks, and then we'll settle back into a Bible study. But, you know, in the day and age that we live, sometimes it's hard to find a reason to be joyful. I mean, you can just look at the news. If you watch the news, 30 seconds into it, you're already depressed. Just listening to all the things going on, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. We have over a year of it before the elections of 24 in November, and we're going to see all kind of whatever happening. And it's actually appalling to see all that they're doing. But yet, you know, as Christians, you and I have that opportunity to still have that joy. And one of the things that I'm noticing as I continue to minister to many people and counsel a few here and there and talk to individuals is that, you know, we're beginning to lose our joy because I think we're beginning to lose our focus. And when you lose our focus on God, and I was talking with a dear gentleman, and he says, you know, he said, for the past week, he said, I've just been praying for God just to take me home. And then here's his wife and his daughter just bawling by the bed, you know. And it's hard at times. Some of the individuals can't figure out why God still has left them here. You know, God, I'm ready. God, I want to see you. God, I know you. God, just come on now. Let's go. And so there's different perspectives of individuals. Some people are longing and ready. Some people aren't ready and are just messing things up. But you and I, as we look at Christ and we see this possibility in our lives of continue to find that joy, I want to go through Psalm 100 a little bit. It's only five verses tonight. It's not a long study. But I want to look at this psalm because what it is, it is the steps in which we can remain focused. The steps in which we can remain have a joyfulness about us and have an ability to just have that smile. And boy, I just love going around every day trying to put a smile on everybody's face I can, and just it's fun. And I don't know if some of you know that Brady, every now and then on Wednesdays, Brady comes with me and he walks to hospital with me. And for some reason, they want me to mentor him, thinking I got something to give him. I don't know. We're working on it. I'm Brady. I'm having fun. But there are times Brady gets his eyes open too when he helps me go through some of the rooms and some of the individuals who are hurting and some of the individuals there. And it's just the ability to just stop it for a moment and talk to somebody and put a smile on their face. It's very rewarding. It's one of the things I love to do. And when we look at Psalm 100, I think this is the way in which you and I can remain focused. Verse 1 simply says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. When you look that up in the Hebrew, that phrase simply means spontaneous noise. Now, I get it when some of you sing. It may be a noise. I'm not sure. Some of you are looking at certain people. I don't know. Poor Zach. No, I mean, I'm just kidding. I don't know why everybody just looked right at you, man. You have to show us, give us an illustration someday. But, you know, when you look at that joyful noise, it's like a joyful trumpet. It's just a joyful, and I don't want to get too carried away with the spontaneous shout or the spontaneous joy that we have. And so when the Hebrew word there makes that as a spontaneous joy unto the Lord, and then it says all ye land, everybody in the land, everybody everywhere, needs it at any given moment. And so what are the moments in your life where you just need to immediately shout out to God? And it says joyful. You know, there are many opportunities in our life we shout out to God, but it's not because we're joyful. It's because we're drowning. We've got so many things going on in our life, we just can't keep our head above water. But what about those times where you know that all of a sudden you just realize that, you know what, that was a God moment right there. That was a divine pointing people together, cross paths in a certain way. I mean, you ran into somebody that needed you, and it's one of those divine appointments that you know God was all over. Those are the times that you just simply say, you know, God, thanks for using me. You know, God, thanks for allowing me just to be a part of that. And so there are many opportunities, I believe, in our life every day where we can have that moment where all of a sudden we realize that God just did an amazing thing. And whether it's, you know, protection in driving, whether it's setting people in your path, whether it's allowing you to be around people and find out that they turn out sick the next day and you're still healthy. I mean, to me, that's a God moment, because it's not by chance that you and I don't get what everybody else gets. We get our share, but there are moments in our lives where God has protected us and done things for us. And I think that's what David is referring to. This is a hymn of praise. And what David's saying, like, you know what, just to make a spontaneous shout out to God. The moment you realize God just did something amazing, that God just did something in your life, whether it was a thought, a smile, a joy, whatever it is, there are so many things. And it's neat when you're able to do that. And then it says all ye lands, that's everybody everywhere. So not only are we to make those joyful noise in the moment that we realize God's doing something, but then it says in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Do you know how hard that is in ministry today? I'm being straight up, transparent, real. Do you know how hard it is to serve the Lord in gladness in ministry today? Because there are a lot of people around us every day that are just Debbie Downers, man. They're just negative all over them. You know, they wake up in the morning and they start rapping on all the negative. You know, and it's whatever happening in the day. I'm sure you know some of these people, right? When you look out and say, wow, you know, there's a dark cloud, but most blue, they don't look at the blue, they look at the black. They look at the dark cloud. That's all they see. And so we have so many of them around us that it's hard for you and I to come, and as children of God, we're to be excited, we're to have this joy, we're to make that joyful noise, and serve Him with gladness. Serving God with gladness. You see, when you serve God with gladness, you know what that means? That means you're doing it for Him, not the people around you. That means you're not a people pleaser. That means you're not trying to make every... Listen, when you try to make everybody happy, you become a referee in life's battles. And does a referee ever win? Is a referee ever liked by everybody? He's only liked by the winning side. That's the only people who like him for a moment. So we need to realize serving the Lord with gladness means that I've got to focus on who I'm serving, not what I'm doing as I serve. It's not the functionality of your service. It's the purpose of your service. Who am I serving? And here David said, listen, serve the Lord, key phrase, got to serve God, but do it joyfully. Why? Because when you do it for God, it has some forever meaning. It has some forever rewards. Because I'm telling you, if we serve God with the mindset of trying to please people, then we're only going to get the applause of men. And we're not going to get the approval of God sometimes. So, two things. First of all, the joyfulness as we shout at that moment, the instant shouts, when God, you see Him do something, or serving the Lord with His gladness. And then in the second part of that verse says, come before His presence with singing. Coming before His presence. When do we come before the presence of God? Hopefully many, many times a day. Should be all the time, right? We should be in His presence all the time. We should acknowledge that He is around us. Because He is, right? God's there. God's with us. God never leaves us nor forsake us. He's never sleeps or slumber. He's there. Everywhere we go, God goes, right? Because we got Spirit of God in us. So He is always there. The problem is we don't acknowledge His presence as we live the life we want to live, or if we make the decisions we want to make without consulting him. So what David is saying, when we serve the Lord with gladness, we will come before his presence with singing. We're coming before him. We're acknowledging that he is there. He is, but listen, you got to acknowledge that. You have to realize consciously at times that he is with you. And I don't think I'm the only one. Sometimes I'm just, you know, I wake up and whew, there we go. And use the phrase today to a guy who was, Dave, he comes in and, boy, I tell you what, before he has his coffee, you don't give him any struggles. You don't give him any oh no's. You don't, he's got to have his coffee. So I said, I finally found a phrase for you this morning. I told him, your phrase is, if I don't get my coffee, it will not kill me, but it might kill you. And he loved it. That was his phrase. And he actually lives that. It's terrible. He loves his coffee. But when we come into God's presence, knowing that he's here, sometimes we get so busy in life, we get so carried away, we just need to stop and say, you know what, God, you're right here. God, you're with me. The more we do that, we come into the singing. And I think scripture here, not literally singing a song, but we've got a song within our heart. Christ writes that song in our heart. He has that joyfulness in our life. And so when we come in, when we acknowledge, God, you just did something great, we're going to shout out to you. And God, I'm going to serve you with a gladness because I know I'm serving you. And when I come into your presence, I want to come to your presence, my heart just singing because of you, singing for you. And it sets the attitude, doesn't it? It sets the stage for me entering into the presence of God. And I guarantee you, if you practice just those three things in your life every day, you will put smiles on people's faces around you. Because you can't help but smile. You can't help but be joyful when you're doing it this way. You're making the noise to him. You're serving for him. You're coming in his presence, acknowledging that he is there. And that's very important. So the first two verses are very important because it sets the stage for how we remain focused on him. We have to keep thinking. We have to keep focused. The third verse is, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Seems like a pretty basic statement, right? We all know that he is God, right? So what? He's God. What's that mean to you? What does it mean to you that he is God? Just think about that for a minute. Man, you could write a book on all the reasons that that's important in your life. Because no matter what's coming your way, he's already approved. No matter what situation you find yourself in, he's going to carry you, lift you, strengthen you in it. No matter what bad choices we make, he can override them and make them all come out good sometime down the road. I mean, the fact that you're coming to him knowing that the Lord is God is foundational. And it says in the rest of that verse, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There's one word that describes the latter part of that verse. It's one that we love, and it's one that we want nothing to do with. It's control. The latter part of that verse simply says control. Look what it says. It is he that made us and not ourselves. We don't belong to us. We have no right to control it. We didn't create us. And it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people shows our identity. The fact that we are the sheep of his pasture shows the authority. Our identity is in we're his. We're his people. The authority of God, the shepherd, is we're his sheep. And listen, the sheep don't listen to the shepherd all the time. But yet, that still small voice that God wants us to listen to, that still small voice he wants us to hear. And it's phenomenal to talk to anybody who raises sheep. There is a literal call or a whistle or a voice that they listen to. It's almost like training the dogs for the dog sled. There are certain commands that they'll listen to, or one of the police dogs, or any of the dogs that are trained for specific things. They're listening to the voice and the command. And then you could say it all you want, but but it has to come from the owner, from the one who trained them. It has to come from that certain voice. And they know it, and they run by it, and they live by it. So really what he's saying is, when he says it, know that the Lord is God, know that he's God, then he's saying, and also remember, he's in control. You're not. You didn't create yourself. You didn't make yourself. You didn't choose to be. God did it all. And knowing that he did it all, knowing that he is God, that allows us to be able to, again, focus on him. When we are in trouble, where do we go? To the shepherd. When we have no idea, no answers, we're in the unknown stage, where do we go? We trust the God who does know. Why? Because he is God. Know that he is God. Know that there are things that we should be responding about life because he is God. And so that fact of just knowing, I mean, it's a very simple phrase, know ye that the Lord is God. And that's like basic 101. I mean, we understand that and we realize that. But coming to the fact, now live every day of your life like you believe that. Live every day of your life like he is God. And I'm going to tell you, we'll have a more joyful life because we'll worry less. Because we'll be afraid less. Simply because we know that God is in control of it. And that God knows our tomorrow. And God knows the unknown. Because I think that's one of the greatest things that triggers our fear is the unknown. We get the phone calls and we don't know. We have struggles. We have doctor's appointments. We have loss of jobs. We have all these things. We got a world economy that could collapse in any minute. We got all the strife going on in our world and all the craziness going on. We just don't know what tomorrow will look like. And I had a question asked me about, what do you think the next 5 years is going to look like? I'm like, you know, if you would have asked me that 10, 15 years ago, I probably gave you an answer. But things are changing so fast today, I don't know if we could even answer what the next 5 years are going to look like. But I do know one thing, that I will still be joyful and my God is still going to be in control. So you see, there are certain things that we can live because we know God, not because we know what tomorrow will bring or we don't know what tomorrow will bring. It's, yes, I know the Lord is God. So what? What does that do for you? It's got to come out in our life. It's got to come out in our action. And so verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into the presence of God with a gratefulness. Now, it doesn't say only do that on the good days, does it? It doesn't say only do that when everything is working in your mind or your way of thinking. Every time you go into God's presence, you ought to go into there thanking him. No matter what the situation is, no matter what life looks like, no matter what individuals seem to be in control of your destiny for a while or making decisions that affect you and they're not even aware of it. And, you know, there are many people that when I make a choice or you make a choice, there are ripples of our choices that will affect somebody. And you will sacrifice something every time you make a choice. Good, bad, or otherwise. You will sacrifice something when you make a choice. So it's the ripples. It's the outside. But no matter how we come into it, no matter what we do, we think we need to come into it with a gratefulness, with a thankfulness, as it says there, the giving thanks. And praising him, because why? Because we're going to be blessed because of his name. His name. Not us. Not ours. And it goes along with that testimony speaks that we talked about Sunday morning. Talk about the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well. And how that verse was so important when the guys all came and said, we didn't accept him because of what you said. We accepted him because of what he said. But it was her testimony that brought them to him. Our testimony speaks. And if we could walk around, continue like this, it would be amazing. And bless his name. For the Lord, in verse 5, is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You see, when you get down to the last verse, it describes the goodness of God. It describes how he's good, where he's good, and how long he's good. And so, the Lord is good. How? His mercy. It's everlasting. His truth, how long? Endures for forever to all generations. And that, to me, allows you and I to not worry about what the next 5 years is going to do. Not look down the road. If we could have an understanding of the next 5 years, that our whole economy would fail, that everything would be destroyed, that, I mean, there's craziness. And that's one thing, I get this idea sometimes. I talk to these guys, they got this big, got a bunker built, and they've got enough food down there for 6 months, and they've got all these things going on. And I'm like, that's great. That's great. Come out of your bunker in 6 months to what? If you got to be in your bunker for 6 months, it's pretty bad outside. So what are you going to come out to? You're going to come out into a world that you're not going to survive in. And so then what are you going to do? See, man thinks that we can prepare, plan, and survive when God may have a different story. And that's man. Again, back up into verse 3, we are not ourselves. We are his people. We are his sheep. And the only way that you and I can keep this joyfulness and continue to see these divine moments and serve God with a gladness and not serve man and be a part of God's, is just to simply say, you know what, God, I'm just going to let go and let you. I'm going to let go and let you be. I'm going to focus on you. Whenever I do something, I'm going to do it for you. Colossians 3:23. Everything needs to be done for God. And so, to me, it's a joyfulness every day to get up and do what you do, to get up and just live life, talk about God, go around and tell people. I think I have one of the greatest jobs in the world because I actually get paid to go talk about Christ to a good 20, 50 people a day. It's all obvious. It's just great. I love it, man. Y'all need to sign up. I'll help you. I'll train you. We all need help. We need assistance, right, Brady? We need people. It's awesome to go. And they're all captivated audience. They're not going to run out on you. They can't get out of bed, not allowed out of bed. And then you get the families also. You get to talk to the family members. And it is a frontline ministry that is absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. You walk in to tears. You walk into joy. You walk into, I don't want nothing you have. Get out of my room. You walk into all kind of different character of people. But man, just to be able to walk around and talk about Christ all day. Man, it lifts me and encourages me every day. Some of them I listen, some of them I don't. But, you know, it's not my responsibility of what they take from it. My responsibility is plant seed. My responsibility is talk about it. And so to be able to do that on a continual basis and then come and teach the Word of God, it's, how about it, brother? It's a great profession, isn't it? Absolutely. So with that, now all of us can have that joy. All of us can have that ability, no matter where you're at. Look for those divine moments and then shout out a thank you to God when you see them. Serve God, not man, and serve him with a gladness. Go into his presence with such a joy in your heart that you can't help but sing. That's what's inside you. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to make those phone calls. It's going to make those unknown situations. It's going to make those thorns in your side situations a whole lot more doable. Because you're already at a place with God of joy and thanksgiving and gratitude for him. And so that's what I want to encourage you with tonight. I know it encourages me, but hopefully you're making those joyful noises and serving God as he would want you to serve. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are tonight. We thank you for all that you do in us, because unless you work in us, there's no way you can do anything through us. And God, I pray that you continue to have that working in us in a very important way. And Father, that as we see in that third verse, that we are not ourselves. We didn't make us. We didn't create us. And Lord, we just need to rest in your care and allow you to step aside and allow you to have your will and your way. And Father, so many things that we have sort of apply to that, but many things in our lives we've taken control over, and we think we can have a set a better course in it. And God, just pray that we just come to you, and Lord, we just bow before you and surrender it all and allow you to have your way. And Father, I know that this will bring a joyfulness, this will bring a more less stressful and more relaxing life. And God, we know that the world is not going to get any better, but our relationship and our joy with you can. And that's what we need to work on. Father, we lift it all to you tonight. We just pray this in your son's name. Amen.